Covering the crew all season long, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Bob Brainerd.
If you're on the outside looking in, if you're not in Milwaukee or the state of Wisconsin, if you're not a Milwaukee Brewer fan, you got to be looking at this team and you're going, how do they keep doing this? How are the Milwaukee Brewers 21 games over 500 with the largest lead, largest division lead in all of baseball and are flirting with the best record in the National League as we get ready to flip the calendar to September in a couple weeks? How? It just is. Welcome to Brewers Extra Innings. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday night. Joined by former Milwaukee Brewer pitcher Jerry Augustine on this Tuesday. Augie, it is I can't even say it. It's so unexplainable how this team has evolved and put together the season that they have so far with more to come. But with all the obstacles, with the injuries, with the expectations, with the bar being set so low, and yet look what they've done. What impresses you most, and maybe it's a list, Augie, but what impresses you most about what this team has done so far?
I guess quoting a icon of sports in the Milwaukee area, I would have to say it just is. That's what it is. It just is. I thought that's a great comment, Bobby. You know, this ball club just goes out each and every day, and you look at what they've tried to do from spring training and what they've tried to do over the last several years is, you know what? We win with pitching. We have to have the good, solid pitching. And pitching has been up in the air this year. They had to go out and they got Montez. They got a couple pitchers that they really needed at the trade deadline, Cervelli, and it's really made a big difference. But this club just goes out and they play, take that pitching, you get them deep in the ball games, you keep the game close. The bullpen has been fantastic. But I think when you center around this ball club, it's got to be the defense. This team is a young team, but they play such good defense that when you're the opposing team, every run that you get, you have to earn. And it's really fun to watch this club because each and every day they go out, they understand that they're going to get 27 outs and they're going to play hard. And it's going to either be a close game or it's going to be a game where they score some runs. But they're going to go out and play hard for 27 outs, and you better be ready to play.
Absolutely. So, Augie, back in your day, the defense that you had behind you with the Milwaukee Brewers, and it was different guys. It wasn't always the same group. But when you know you had guys that had speed and had defense behind you and had your back, how does that help a pitcher on the mound?
Well, first of all, you also have your game meetings. And the game meetings, you kind of understand how the defense is going to play and what you need and what the strengths are of the hitters. That's a daily routine that you go through. And when you know that daily routine, Bobby, and you know where the guys are going to play, they say, hey, this guy's a pull hitter. We're going to play a little bit of pull on the infield and play the opposite way in the outfield. You kind of understand what you have to do as a pitcher to be successful. And I think the Brewers do an excellent job with the scouting and how they go about it, looking at the opposing team and say, hey, you know what? This team's strength is they're going to be a fastball hitting team. They're going to be aggressive in the strike zone, and they like the ball. A fastball's up. Well, that lets you know that, you know what, do you change your game as a pitcher? No, but you understand where they have success, and you know how the defense is going to be played. So you cater that game plan to how you feel you can be successful. And I think the Brewers do an excellent job at that because you watch how they play defensively. Each guy on that team has a little card in their pocket. They pick it out and say, hey, this guy's strength is he likes to pull the ball. Well, they'll pull him. And then maybe with two strikes, they'll change it and they'll play him the opposite way. So they really have a good idea of how they're going to pitch a guy, how they're going to play him, and defensively, that really makes a big difference.
He's Jerry Augustine, former Milwaukee Brewer pitcher on Brewers Extra Innings. We've got to talk Frankie Montas tonight, Augie, because he was sensational. Seven innings. But here's what stands out to me. Seven innings through under 100 pitches, but he only struck out three. How can you be so good and only strike out three? Normally, when a guy is that efficient, he's blowing everybody away. He didn't do that, but he pitched to contact, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He pitched his fastball. And if you look at the quality of pitches he made, he threw 89 pitches. He threw 56 for strikes. that's about a percentage of strikes, about 63% or 64% in that area. When you're throwing in that 60% and on up, that's a real formula for success. But what did he do, Montez, do this game that he did differently the last game? Last game out, he really used his split finger. He used his cutter, and he got people off balance with those two pitches. Tonight, what did he do? Predominantly fastballs. He really pitched well with his two-seam fastball down in his zone with good movement, his four-seam fastball up. And the one thing that I really liked, and he only had three strikeouts, but he made purpose pitches with his other fastball in other spots. When he went up in the strike zone, he added something. He was a pitch that, you know what, I'm going to go up in the strike zone, but I'm just not going to throw a fastball. I'm going to throw a good, solid fastball. I'm going to let the ball go, and let's see what happens. And I think that effectiveness he had up in the zone really made a difference, that he could pitch down the zone, get the 7 ground balls that he did, and pitch ahead and only throw 89 pitches. Success comes from throwing strikes, expanding the strike zone, and he did an excellent job of that tonight.
Yeah, and Frankie has they've won all 4 games that he's pitched for Milwaukee. So I think that equates to that the defense behind him, plus the offense, they know that Montas is going to go out there and be a strike thrower, and he's going to pitch to contact, and he's going to give them an opportunity. I don't think that's a coincidence, Augie.
No, it isn't. And Bobby, I think you've up a great point. It's not a coincidence. It's because, hey, this guy, where do you pitch these guys? Goldschmidt, Arenado, those guys, you throw the ball in the inner half of the plate, a lot of times they're going to sting you and they're going to hurt you. But what did they do? When they went on the inside part of the plate to some of their good hitters, where did they go? Where did Montas go? He went in off the plate. He tried to stretch that strike zone on the inside part of the plate, get him looking and saying, hey, you're throwing consistent strikes away from me. Now you're going in. I think I got to look inside. Well, when you do that, it just breeds success for when you throw the ball away. And I thought that's one thing he did today. He had really good command of that two-seamer and that four-seamer. He elevated when he needed to. He expanded the strike zone when he needed to, and it really made a big difference for him.
And then it got dicey, Augie, as we know, with the 2-run home run late in the 8th inning, and then really dicey and really interesting in the 9th inning. And Devin Williams wasn't clean, Augie, in the 9th, but he got the job done to strike out those last two big hitters. Devin looks like, again, and we've seen this even when he's healthy, it's not always pretty, it's not always sexy, but he finds a way to get the job done. And I think he looks like Devin Williams is supposed to look when he is 100% healthy.
Yeah, you know, Contreras, he just had Contreras fooled. I think Contreras took a fastball right down the middle. I think he was looking changeup when he got in that shit deep in the count. I think he was saying, you know, in the past, what does he do? He gets deep in the count. He throws his changeup, and it makes a big difference. And I think Contreras got caught with that fastball right down the middle. But I thought Donovan and Arenado had some really good at-bats. They went up there looking for something with a little bit of velocity, because what has Devin Williams been doing early on since he's been back? He's been throwing his fastball a little bit more to good spots in the strike zone, and they did a nice job with that. Donovan got a fastball up, he hit a bell up the middle. Arenado got a little bit of off-speed stuff away, and he went the opposite way. But I really liked the way Devin came back. He put the guy on base, he put Nupar on base, and then he had Goldschmidt and Gorman come out. I thought the at-bat of Goldschmidt was fantastic. He showed fastball away. He showed things away. And then, if you remember, I think it was a 2-2 count or a 1-2 count. He threw a fastball on the inside part of the plate that Goldschmidt talked. That set up that airbender that he could throw the next pitch. Where was that pitch? It was inside, moving down and off the plate, and Goldschmidt couldn't hold off. I thought that was excellent. That shows great control. A great pitch by Devin in that spot. And then when Donovan came up, or the next hitter, Gorman came up, after he threw the fastball, the 96-mile fastball up, it was over, because he was going to throw the airbender and he was going to strike him out, because it's just such a tough pitch to not swing at a pitch down the way. And I thought those right there show you where Devin Williams is and where he has success, because not only was he able to locate his pitches, but he was able to use both his pitches to his strength. And that was to throw the ball in off the plate and expand the strike zone.
Augie, those last two hitters that you mentioned by St. Louis, it looks to me like they're up there guessing. Like they're trying to guess and figure out Devin Williams' pitch before he makes the pitch. And when you're guessing, you've got a guy already tied up in his head. So very difficult when you're not up there with swinging with a purpose, when you have to guess, and I think that's what those two guys were doing, when you have to guess, ball game over.
Well, you know, Devin Williams hasn't been there all year. When you look at the scouting report on Devin Williams since he's come back, what has he done a little bit this year? He's broken out a little bit of a, you might want to call it a slider, might want to call it some kind of pitch that he'll throw once in a while on the outer half of the plate. So, yeah, he does have that pitch. That's an added pitch that you put in a hitter's mind. But like you said, he gets to a spot where he can command the strike zone. He's been commanding his fastball excellently, both on both sides of the plate, and then he's got the airbender. You have to guess because you just don't know. You don't know when he's going to throw that airbender because he'll throw it at any time he wants, and he's going to throw it for good location. And I agree with you. I think these guys go up there and you say, what is he throwing now? And if you don't go up early and get the pitch to hit and put it in play and get a hit off of him, you're in trouble.
Yep, ball game. And Brewers won the first ball game in St. Louis in this series 3-2 tonight with a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank, also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member, FDIC. When we return on Brewers Extra Innings, Augie and I talk about the offense.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win in the Lou tonight. 3-2, the final score. The domination against the guys from the Lou continues. Game two is tomorrow night in the Lou. Guess I just like saying the Lou. Bob Rainer with you on this Tuesday night. And for Dom, along with former Brewer pitcher Jerry Augustine. Augie, we got a caller. It's Doug from Baraboo. Now, before we get to your question, Doug, I want to play a little high school mascot game here, okay? So, Augie, do you know the Baraboo High School mascot is?
I have no idea.
Okay, Doug,
I have no idea.
Tell him, Doug.
Thunderbirds.
Okay, Doug, your turn. Do you know what Kewanee's high school mascot is?
No.
You don't.
Thunderbirds.
No. There's only one Thunderbirds. Augie, tell him. Or what was it, Augie?
It was when I went to school as the Kewanee Indians, but it's changed. And I, honest to God, I don't know what it is right now.
Right. Yeah. No, you're correct. It used to be the Indians, and they changed now to the Kewanee Storm.
That's what it is, Storm.
Yeah. So you guys both lose. Congratulations. Okay, Doug, let's talk Brewer baseball. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bob and Augie, good evening. You know, Bob, you're asking about how they're doing it or if you're somebody from outside and how they're doing it. To me, there's so much discipline at the plate this year. You know, we're number two in base on balls, and we're number two with on-base percentage, and we're right in the top five with stolen bases and batting average, which all work together. But I have to agree with Augie. We're number one with ERA, and going into tonight, we've probably gone down maybe a tenth, at 3.66. So the pitching has just been phenomenal, and I think you got to congratulate the people upstairs and the manager and obviously the pitchers. It's just been fun to watch.
Sure has. Doug, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Let's dive off of that, Augie. And, yeah, the offense, I think, has been complementary. I think complementary is a good word to describe it because it's not always about the offense putting up a bunch of runs and then the pitchers can have a little leeway and a longer leash. It just seems like this ball club is complementary to one another that – if the pitching does struggle on a given night, the hitting is there to back it up. And then vice versa. Tonight, they scratch out only three runs, but it was enough because Montas was good, and they give up the two, but then Devin Williams comes in and closes the door. So, again, this is a complimentary win, isn't it?
It is. It's just that total team where you go in a game like tonight and it says, what do you have to do? You have to play great in all three aspects of the game. Number one, the Montes pitching and Devin Williams coming in and slamming the door. And then defensively, they played so solid on the defense side of the ball. But you take that offensive side of the ball, and, you know, Bobby, we talk about this club so often, and it's a different guy every night. It's a different guy doing great things. And I think tonight you take your hat off to Sal Frelick. The two at-bats he did, the first, when they scored that first run in the second, what did he do? He got a pitch late in the count. He got a ball up in the zone. He was able to go up and get it and drive it in the center field for a base hit to score a run. Then he comes up the next time at bat and it's thinking that, well, you know what? They're going to go back up again. They make a mistake with a slider up. He goes and pulls it down the first baseline for the triple, which means he gets the second run. So you look at the guy who was the offense tonight that really did a great job. It was Sal Frelick. But we'll see each and every night. One night it might be Terang or Cheerio or whomever. But they all guys go out and they go out there and they give good at-bats. I think one complimentary thing is I had tuned in to the Cardinals. I just wanted to see how they talked about the Cardinals, where they are right now. And one of the announcers said that, you know, they look a little stale tonight. You'd think they come and play the Brewers, they'd be pepped up and ready to go and ready to fight. And he said they look a little stale tonight against the Brewers. The Brewers never look stale. They go up and they give you a good at-bat. When they get two strikes, they just don't give in. They're going to fight every pitch they can to try to put the ball in play. And I think that's really been a big trademark of this ball club. Yes, they do have games where they strike out. They're going to face good pitching. But most of the time, they give you that good at-bat each and every time. And they take they take that pitcher almost every time into five and six pitches, which really makes a difference throughout a game.
Stale, you say, huh? Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's a good description, because how else do you explain that, you know, Montas is up there, and again, he's not whiffing guys and sending them back to the dugout. They're making contact. They had some hard-hit balls, but they were hard-hit balls that went right into the fielder's gloves. So that's a pretty good description from the home team announcers talking about their guys, because they're making contact, but not enough contact to find any gaps, find any holes, hit the ball out of the park until the eighth inning. So, yeah, your team is stale, but you got to credit the guy who was pitching to them and keeping them stale.
Yeah, he was. Montes was really good tonight. And I think if you look at Fetty, the way he pitched the ball game, I think if not taking back the pitch that he made to Sal Frelick was a high breaking ball. I think the pitch might have been a 2-2 count. And he hit the ball off the middle, and the Brewers were able to score that run in the second. I don't think he worries. He says, yeah, that might have not been the pitch I want to throw. But I think Fetty would say it's the two guys I walked prior to that. This Milwaukee team, if you put guys on base, they're going to find a way to apply pressure. That's one thing this team does. You get a guy on base, and they figure out ways to apply pressure to the opponents. And I tell you what, I think all year long we see them. They do it sometimes it's with speed. Sometimes it's just moving runners over. Sometimes it's a home run ball. But they do it consistently. And, boy, I tell you what, taking pitchers deep into counts really has a positive effect for this offense.
You know who scored one of the runs was Willy Adames. And I'm like you, Augie. You have a good idea. I tuned into the Cardinals broadcast this evening just to hear what they were saying. And they brought up the fact that Willy Adames, when he first came to Milwaukee from Tampa Bay, he had no intention of ever walking. Remember? I mean, he was a guy that was going up there. He was swinging for the fence. He was going to swing as hard as he possibly could. He kind of had the Carlos Gomez syndrome, where it's like I don't want to even think about a walk. So you better pitch something anywhere in the zone. But they talked about Willie's at bats, where he got walked. Eventually, he scored one of the three runs, which was key. And Augie, this year, he has been a much more patient hitter at the plate. All you got to do is look at the number of walks. Now, he still strikes out, but the average is a lot better, and the walks are definitely higher. It shows that Willy Adames is more patient, and that is paying off for the club as a whole.
And I think, Bobby, if you would agree with me, when he gets up there in the situation, and I agree with you, when he first came up, it was like, swing at anything in case you hit it.
Right.
And he changed himself. And you look at him a little bit in the middle of this year, he was in a little bit of a rut where he went through. I remember one time he was like 2-for-25 or something like that, in a little bit of rut. All of a sudden, you see Willy Adames get patient at the plate. You get him in situations where you need that big base hit. You need to get him in situations where you need something special to be done. Boy, his at-bats are just so much better. I agree with you 100%. He has really taken his game to a another way of approaching it at the plate, and that's saying, I'm going to be patient, I'm going to look for something, and I get in this time of the game when I can help this ball club, I'm going to do everything I can to hit the ball and put it in play and make something happen. He's done a great job at that this year.
Yeah, 4 at-bats, Augie, but 2 officially because he walked 2 times, and of course, one of the times that he walked, he scored a run. His OPS,
right.
His OPS now is 784. Give you a little comparison here. Jackson Churio is 746. Terang, you think about Bryce being a guy who's very patient at the plate. Bryce's OPS is 687. So Adames is even better with his OPS. Again, it just shows that Adames is not only maturing as a player, but he's also going up there now, not just swinging for himself or taking in the AB for himself, but he's doing what's best for the team, Augie.
Yeah, and you look at one thing. What has Murph done when you look at these lineups, Bobby? And I think if you look day to day, boy, sometimes he'll take the rookies and you saw tonight, he had Terang, Churio, and Mitchell at the top, and then he'll filter in the veteran guys and that. But one guy that has always been constant all year, and that's been Adames. Contreras will probably either hit second or he'll hit third, but Adames has always been in that RBI slot where you need a guy to come through with guys on base at these young guys and Contreras get on base. And I think that's a real shot in the arm for this ball club and a real positive thing about this ball club, the value that Adames has with it. Not only is he a leader on the field, not only is one of these guys that off the field really gets everybody working in a positive way, but when he gets up there at bat and he has to do something big, boy, he battles, and I think it's really made a big difference.
Made a difference tonight as the Brewers win at St. Louis 3-2. Thunderstorms can happen anytime in Wisconsin. As an authorized Generac dealer, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you up to $1,500 off a whole home generator. Visit Sider.com today. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, Augie gets put to the test, the postseason test. We'll explain.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Milwaukee is a winner over the St. Louis Cardinals tonight in St. Louis. 3-2 is the final score. Hi, I'm Bob Brainerd in for Dom on this Tuesday evening. Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings, joined by former Brewer pitcher Jerry Augustine. Okay, Augie, I promised a quiz. It's a postseason quiz. Here you go. you're a former pitcher. You've seen what the Brewers have done. Okay. Let's get crazy and assume that Milwaukee's going to make the postseason. Okay. I'm going to take a. I know it's just August 20th, but I'm just going to say they're going to make the postseason. Okay.
I'm going to tell you you're not crazy.
Okay, good. Good. I need to hear that. That's step one. Step two is this. Whether it's a first-round game or if they avoid that first round and they're playing in the second round, doesn't matter. But games one and games two against an opponent TBA, okay, who are you running out there to be your starting pitchers in game one and game two?
Peralta and Ray. I think when you look at this ball club, everything has been, you know, a lot of things have been said with Freddie Peralta. And I think this year has been a really great educational year for Freddie. And I'll say that we'll never get rid of fastball Freddie. Last time out, he went predominantly breaking balls. He won the last game he pitched because he had a great breaking ball and he used it against Cleveland and he did a great job. Got it. Sure. Still used his fastball when he needed to, but he's pitched intelligently. I thought Gary Sanchez behind the plate did an awesome job of making him use his secondary pitches to be successful. I thought that was a great learning experience for Freddie. And I think it's one that he can carry on the rest of the year and the rest of his starts and then be ready to be molded to go into the postseason. Colin Ray, there's just not anybody any better. When you think about day-to-day routine, about how he goes out and how he pitches, and he just never gets in. Yeah, he had a little bit of rough out there against the Dodgers, but he made some mistakes in the center of the plate. He usually doesn't do that. But I think when you look at the two really good starters that the Brewers have to start their first two games, I would go with Freddie Peralta and Colin Ray. And then I'll tell you what, Tobias Myers, it's going to be interesting. He's going to, the school is still out on him, even though you look at he's got best ERA in all of baseball. He's still a young man in his first career year up here. You want to see what he does when he gets to September and that heat starts being turned up a little bit.
You really answered my question quickly, Augie. I mean, you had no very great conviction. Right away, you said Peralta and Ray. Why do you say that? Why do you say it with conviction?
I believe in these guys. I really, when this year started, we didn't know who was going to be where or what was going to. We knew that Freddie's going to be number one. Colin Ray was going to be there. I just think the way these guys go about their job each and every time. These guys take the ball, they go out there, and they pitch. And I think when you look at Freddie, I thought from the beginning, being listed as that number one guy is number one, it's a great honor. And but it makes you feel like you got to do more at times. And I think Freddie got into a little bit of a zone where he was trying to be too much. But I'll tell you what, the last game out was so – I sat behind the plate that game. I was so impressed how he uses secondary pitches. He pitches like that, he can beat anybody. And I thought it was really good. And Colin Ray, all season long, guy pitches. And he's got excellent control. He doesn't walk a lot of guys. He'll make a mistake from time to time, but he keeps you in the ballgame. I think those are the two guys that you want to have out there.
Okay, I'm going to be devil's advocate here, Augie, because otherwise this segment is too short. All right? So let's say let's say Freddie just he regresses in the next 6 weeks and starts to scuffle and he gets out of that good place that he is right now and he kind of gets back into some bad habits and the pitch count runs up. If we get to the postseason and Freddie's not right, would you still make him either game one or game two, or would you say, if you're Murph and you're Chris Hook, would you maybe say and consider, you know what, let's take some of the pressure off because you're obviously pressuring yourself. Let's wait till game three for you, let's put somebody else in there. Or would you still anoint him either game one or game two?
Bobby, I'm a traditionalist, and I say that in a way that I like keeping things the way they are. I've always said that, you know, if you've got your one, two, and three guys, these are the guys you go with. I like staying there. I think the routine of a team playing a baseball game in a series, and you go out and you say, hey, if this is a series we got to win, I'm going to have my one, two, and three guys out. I'm going to stay with that all year long. And if I get in the postseason, I'm not going to change it. It would really have to be something really off key for me to say, hey, I wouldn't go to Freddie, because I know Freddie can step up. I know he can go through a time where he's struggling, and all of a sudden, when it comes up to that big game, he's going to drive it up a notch. And I think he's my guy, and I want to show him that he's my guy. I'm just a traditionalist that way, and I think I would stay with the routine that we do have. That's not to say that all of a sudden you got Covelli and you got Montes throwing the ball super, that you might think about doing those type of things. But I think the situation that the Brewers are in right now, the way they're going, the way this team has played, the way Murph has coached these guys, I think he tried to stay with that traditionalism of staying in that routine with your one, two, and three guys.
So I agree with you on Colin Ray. I think he's either game one or game two starter, either one. He has to be one of your guys because he's stepped up and he's pitched so well. He's earned the right to start either one or two in a playoff series. Again, I'll just say this for argument's sake. If you decide that you want to move Freddie, say to a game three start to take some pressure off, here's the thing, Augie. You've got three really solid choices of what you're going to do to plug in. Let's say Colin Ray gets the ball in game one. Now you've got, and you're not going to put Freddie in there at game two. You've got three solid choices because you can go with either Myers, you can go with Savali, and you can go with Montas. Either one of those guys has proven that they can go out there and give you enough innings to get to the bullpen, which is the object of the game in the postseason, isn't it?
Well, I'll throw a little thing in there.
Go ahead.
I would always keep Colin Ray my number two guy.
Okay.
The way I am.
Deal.
He's my number two guy. He's the guy who's pitched there. He feels consistent with it. The pressure of not being the number one guy, I don't think it has anything to do with Colin. I think he can pitch anywhere. But I just keep Colin where Colin is. He's my number two guy in this series. He's my guy. He's going to be my number two guy. It'd be interesting to go from there. Where do you go? You have Tobias Miller, Savali, and and Montez. It'd just be, who's that guy? What's the best matchup? Who you ever play is going to be the guy you're going to go with. And then I put Freddie in number three. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think if Freddie's struggling, that could possibly happen. It's just, who do you go at number one there? And I think it's the matchup of who's pitched the best against those style teams that who you go with the number one game.
Augie, don't you think that all the pitchers that we mentioned at this stage where the Brewers are looking at the rest of the division and they're looking at their lead and they know what they have to do to get to the finish line and they're going to get there. But I think in these next 6 weeks, Augie, I think these starting pitchers, without it being said, they're kind of auditioning for getting the ball in these games, aren't they?
I agree. I think they are. I think a guy like Tobias Myers is going to say, hey, what you're seeing is the real deal. And when I go out there, I really like his disposition on the mound, how he goes about it, doesn't get rattled and just stays within himself. He understands what he can do. He's got that good slider now. He uses his changeup really well. He's really done an outstanding job. And, yeah, is he auditioning? He is auditioning, but he's the one guy. He's a young guy, and you get put in that situation. I think, like you just said, Bobby, that last 2 weeks in August, they're gonna get you to that part where you get a couple starts. But when you get into September, the game changes. It gets to that always playoff game. Everybody's a little bit more into each game, and you got those playoffs each and every night. So these guys will be auditioning. I think Freddie and Colin Ray are your number one and two guys. But if there's a change, these other three guys are auditioning to see who you might put in if you needed that third guy.
All right, Augie, I think the only way we settle this is the next time Freddie's pitching at American Family Field, you get your really awesome tickets behind home plate and you invite me to the game, and then you and I will sit there and chew on each other for nine innings. You got a deal?
That's a deal. That would be fun. And I'll show you what he did. But last game, honest to God, Bobby, you go and I always say he's always going to be fastball Freddie. And he always is going to be because his fastball is lightning. But, boy, last game was so impressive how he used against a Cleveland team that's a good fastball hitting team, how he used his off-speed to offset these guys and just pitch a phenomenal game. And I was really impressed by the way he pitched. And as a former pitcher, I really enjoyed that. It's fun to see Freddie do that. I'm a big fan of Freddie's. He's just a great kid, and he's the kind of guy that goes out each and every day and wants to do well and help his team. And I just thought that day he took another step into being a better pitcher.
You buy the nachos, I'll buy the summer shandy. Deal?
It's a deal.
Deal. Okay, he is Jerry Augustine, and he and I are going to be sitting behind home plate next time Freddie Peralta pitches. Augie, thanks as always, my friend, for joining us in Brewers Extra Innings.
Yeah, Bobby, and just remember, just like you said earlier, it just is.
It just.
And I'll tell you what, the Brewers are playing great baseball, and it is, just is.
T-shirts available at American Family Field and the team store. Thank you, Augie. Have a good night.
Any night, Bobby, anytime.
More Brewers Extra Innings. We'll hear from Murph when we return.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Options.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Everyone in Brewerland in a good mood because Milwaukee wins again. Six straight victories now and keep rolling against the St. Louis Cardinals to take game one of this series in St. Louis. 3-2 is the final score. Everyone, including the manager, Pat Murphy, in a good move because his guys are now 21 games over the 500 mark.
Frankie was great. He attacked the zone. Strike one was big. I don't know what the percentage was, but I bet it was really good. he's turned it up a notch, and it's kind of cool. He gets it. Yeah, it's nice having his experience.
We're asking you about his efficiency before the game, and those first couple innings, it seemed kind of set the tone. They were quick and efficient. That's what you
very
want.
Good. Yeah, right? He's very good. Frank was very good. William, you got to give William a lot of credit. He had a great game tonight. Both sides of the ball, he was great. And he really got Frankie going too. I thought he called a great game.
What did you see from Devin's ability to kind of lock down those last two outs and get those two big strikeouts?
I've been watching this for years. team needs to come and get ready to back up the truck. He's got tremendous competitive nature, tremendous. He's prepared. He's competitive. And he's poised. I mean, that's just poise right there. Tremendous poise. Facing Goldschmidt, Hall of Famer. And, I thought he was sensational.
Does it surprise you at all how he's been able to just hit the ground running 5 for 5 now?
Well, I watched him prepare, you know, like he was with the team the whole year and he was present. You know, he was present the whole year. And then kept to himself, but he was present and involved with the team in terms of our conversations and what he thought about things. And then to see him hit the ground running in this throwing program, he knew exactly how he wanted to do it. We talked about exactly how it was going to go. And, you know, yeah, I'm not surprised. I've seen him do this for 2 years like this. And before that, as an eighth inning guy or whatever we needed out of him. So to see where he's come, I mean, this guy's earned it, you know.
Mark, what does that say about your confidence in him, too, to do the intentional walk in front of Goldschmidt, you know, and the confidence you have in Devin to get himself out of it, right?
Yeah, some would have said I'm crazy, you know, if, you know, I just, you know, this time it worked. You know, I don't plan on ever intentionally walking a person in front of Goldie ever again, but this time it worked, and I think we escaped, and it's only maybe with Devin the way he's throwing the ball.
What about the play that Tito made to rob Mason Wynn there in the sixth?
Tito that was a great play, and then to execute it and get the guy out of scoring position was great. Even Sal's play in the last inning there to keep it a double, you know what I mean, and keep the run from scoring. We had a lot of nice defensive plays.
Sal having a multi-hit game tonight.
Yeah, Sal was good.
Game,
yeah.
You know, look at that mean for you.
Contreras was great. Sal, I mean, Sal's, whatever he's hitting, 265 or two, whatever. I mean, Sal's been pretty consistent. He hasn't hit, swung it great lately as far as barrels, but he's capable. He's such a winning player. You know, he's a good defender and a winning player. So, that was good. Drumstick coming in there and throwing that, getting that one out is huge too. So, let's not forget him.
I was going to ask you, leading into that inning, was McGill in the conversation for that instead of Mears there?
How long has it been since McGill pitched?
Well, I realize it's been a while. Was that the reasoning?
Next
there?
Question.
Just not drop him into a
early. Mears has been throwing the ball great.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to look for smart landing for guys that haven't pitched in a while. So. Yeah.
Mentioned how good William was on both sides of the ball. How have you seen him and Montas kind of come to work together over the four starts here?
Yeah, it's definitely coming along. Montas has been great. But Williams, you know, it's a big game for him offensively, too. Three hard contacts.
It's a challenge for a young catcher. We have a guy like Montas who knows himself well, knows his stuff well, right, comes in the middle of the season, and then William has to not only work with him, but also kind of make that work together for the two of them.
That's right. But, you know, Frankie's interested. You know what I mean? He's just not a veteran coming over saying, I'm going to do what I got to do. Frankie's interested in getting with the team and feeling what the team's doing. He's done a great job of transitioning and understanding what we're about. And, it hasn't been all easy for him, but he's throwing the ball well.
That's Pat Murphy, Brewers manager. A lot of interesting tidbits sprinkled in that 4 or 5 minutes of conversation with the Brewers skipper. One of them that kind of jumped out was you heard Sophia Minert from Bally Sports ask Murph about intentionally walking the batter to get to Paul Goldschmidt. And even Murph said, I don't know if I would do that again, and I certainly wouldn't do it every single time. But he knew that he had confidence in Devin Williams. He knew that the way Williams was throwing the baseball, that he liked that matchup better. Doesn't mean that he would always like that. Doesn't mean he would always do that. But I like that Murph admitted that he was kind of playing a hunch, and he was also showing the confidence, and he knew and understood how Devin Williams was going to throw, and he understood the matchup against Goldschmidt. And as he said, in this instance, it worked out. Did it ever? Brewers win it 3-2. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we will replay the highlights for you. Good hitting, timely hitting, and outstanding pitching when it's all said and done.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Bob Brainerd.
All right, I'll skip to the end and then rewind to the beginning. Brewers win it in St. Louis. Game one of this three-game series. Final score was 3-2. Here's how it happened in the second inning. Sal Frelick, who had a big night at the plate, clutch night at the plate, got things started.
There go the runners. And this is lined into center. It's going to get down for a base hit. Adames turns third. He's going to score. On his way to third is Black, and he's in there safely. An RBI single for Sal Frelick, and the Brewers on the board. It's 1-0 Crew.
In the fifth inning, Frelick tripled, and that brought up Joey Ortiz to knock him in.
1-0, chopper through the right side and into right field for a base hit. Frelick trots home. Joey Ortiz, RBI single, and the Brewers with a 2-0 advantage.
2-0, and it was holding quite steadily because Frankie Montas was dealing. He worked all the way through seven complete innings and didn't give up a run to St. Louis. But in the top of the eighth, Milwaukee got what proved to be a very big run. William Contreras at the plate.
And the first pitch to Contreras is drilled out to center. Scott going back at the track, at the wall. He jumps up. It's off the top of the wall. Mitchell cruising around 30 will score. It's an RBI double for William Contreras. And the Brewers lead it 3-0.
Yes, 3-0 then, but in the bottom of the eighth, Matt Carpenter had a pinch hit two-run home run to tighten things up, tighten the screws and make it 3-2. On to the ninth inning, Devin Williams came on. It was dicey, it was shaky. The bases were loaded with Cardinals. Here's how it ended.
And the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Devin Williams strands the bases loaded. And the Brewers prevail in game one by a final score of 3-2.
And there you have it. 3-2 the final in game one of this series in St. Louis. Milwaukee now 21 games over 500. They have won six in a row. They'll go for seven in a row tomorrow night in the Lou. We'll tell you about it, the probables, and other good things when we return on Brewers Extra Innings.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings. Bob Brainerd with you in for Dom. He's back at it tomorrow, bringing you all the post-game wrap-up on Brewers Extra Innings after the Brewers Cardinals on Wednesday in St. Louis. Just checking these standings, and the Dodgers are playing the Seattle Mariners out west as we speak. Seattle's leading that game. And at the moment, the Brewers and Phillies are tied with the second-best record in the National League at 73-52. And in fact, if they did the playoffs today, Milwaukee would be the number two seed, and that means they would avoid the first round. They would edge out the Phillies in that category. But if the Dodgers lose, Dodgers have dropped to 74-53, and Milwaukee would be, I was never good at math, but they would have one less loss than Los Angeles, but one less win than Los Angeles, but one less loss than the Dodgers as well. I told you I wasn't good at math. Anyway, bottom line is it's very close for the best record and the second best record in the National League. And of course, we're going to sort all that out in the next 5.5 weeks. But just the fact that Milwaukee is in this conversation to avoid that first round, they're going to win the division. We know that. But now they can definitely have their sights set on either finishing one or two in the National League. And that is so huge because if you remember the Brewers last year, winning the division, but then falling to the Arizona Diamondbacks in that first round series, you want to get out of that. You just don't want to be in that. It's less games to play. You can line up your pitching for the series without having to burn your guys in an opening series and then play another series after that against somebody who was rested and who was idle. So it's going to get interesting here, not only for the Brewers just to win the division, because that's going to happen, folks, but can they finish one or two with the Phillies and the Dodgers involved in the mix? And hey, the Padres and Diamondbacks aren't that far away from the top spot in the National League West and the LA Dodgers. So don't count either one of those teams out to get in there and mix it up and make things interesting as well. All right, as we look ahead to Wednesday in St. Louis, your probable pitchers, Tobias Meyer is going to go for Milwaukee. He's 6-5, an ERA of 2.81. He's been spectacular with 85 strikeouts. St. Louis will counter with Kyle Gibson. He's 7-5, an ERA of 4.26. He's got 121 strikeouts. So Kyle Gibson is a guy who, when he heats up and gets it going, can get the bats moving in all kinds of crazy directions. But Myers, of course, with that microscopic ERA of under 3, going to be a great pitching matchups for Game 2 in St. Louis tomorrow night. Things kick off with the pregame show at 6 p.m. here on 620 WTMJ and across the Brewer Network statewide and beyond. I want to thank Jerry Augustine for joining me on the show today. I want to thank Max Meyerson for pressing all the buttons. I'm Bob Brainerd. Thank you for dialing in Brewers Extra Innings. I'll be in your ears next Tuesday night. Dom's back tomorrow, so sit tight until then.